Take your Bibles, please. Turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We're going to read verses 13 through 17 together. John chapter 21, verses 13 through 17. We'll read this passage responsively. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And let's finish on verse 17 together. Ready? He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he saith unto them, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And let's pray. Lord, please, would you help us tonight? Lord, I long for our people. Let me fix that. Your people. I long for me to love you more. I long for us all to love you and you to get the love that you deserve. Lord, we don't deserve yours, but you give it anyway. I pray that tonight, these 30 minutes or so, that you would just get loved back a little bit more like you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in John chapter 21, and if you'll listen on purpose at the beginning, this is not going to be a hard truth, but one that is sweet and one that is very precious to me. Jesus has resurrected from the dead. He has gotten up out of the grave. And just a little reminder, if you remember, just before Calvary, his disciples forsook him. All 12 of them, one went out and was the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, filled with Satan, killed himself. And the other 11, they scattered. You say, why? Because they thought they were going to get killed too for being with Jesus. They all forsook him. And here in John chapter 21, they're out fishing. Now, it's not fishing like Brother Taylor, you and I do, that's occasional, amen? Or Brother Mike, we've taken a couple fishing trips out on the Chesapeake Bay area there and going out, drown a few pieces of squid and that kind of thing and have a little bit of fun catching fish. Dawn went with us one time. She caught more fish than anybody on the boat. I was ready to throw her in for bait for a while there. Every time one went on, I got another one. I'm thinking, good night, girl. And it was when it says that they went a fishing, they were actually going back to the fishing business. They had gotten a boat, and you have to understand, some of these guys had fishing families, so it wasn't hard for them to find a boat to take out and go and start back up in the business. They had actually left the ministry to go back to the fishing industry. And Jesus saw them. You know the story. They fished all night and caught no fish. There is nothing more miserable in the world than fishing and catching nothing. I'm serious. One reason I don't fish a lot, you know, when you're going hunting, you can kind of see what's out there. When you're going fishing, you don't see nothing. You're just at the mercy of where that boat is and hoping something's down there, amen? And even when you got something on, you don't see it. You're hoping it's not Jaws or something like that, you know? But they had fished all night long and caught nothing. Now, how many of you have ever fished all night long before? All right, y'all know what I'm talking about. How many of you fished all night and didn't catch anything? All right, now you know why the disciples were pretty ticked off. They weren't real happy, and Jesus hollers out to them. He's got a little fire going, and he said, "Hey, fellas, why don't you drop your nets on the right side of the ship?" They said, "Who are you? But maybe you saw something we didn't see." And they threw their nets out, and the Bible says they caught so many fish, they could hardly draw the nets, and their nets were beginning to break. And Jesus and Peter says, "That's the Lord, fellas. You finish this up, I'm swimming in." And he swam into shore and met with Jesus, and the rest of the disciples brought the ship in and brought the fish in. And Jesus already had fire going and some fish there. You say, where did he get it? The Bible doesn't say. All right. I have no idea. I just know that he had enough bread and fish for the disciples to eat, and they were eating. I want you to notice something. Verse number 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he had resurrected from the dead. This wasn't the first time he had seen them. This was his third time. They had seen the risen Savior. They had met with him in the upper room. They had met with him one other time, and then this time. They're still not in the ministry. Jesus looks at Peter, and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" I love this statement. There's one word in there that most people pass by, or they misteach it. Bible says, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" He wasn't saying, "Do you love me more than the rest of the disciples love me?" What were they doing out there? They were catching. He said, "Don't you love me more than fish? Peter, don't you love me more than a fish? Don't you love me a little bit more than what those fish might buy you? Do you really love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Well, then feed my lambs." Jesus looked at him again and said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, thou knowest I love you." He said, "Well, then feed my sheep." Jesus said a third time in a row, "Peter, do you love me?" Bible says Peter was grieved that he would ask him the third time. And Jesus said, "Would you just feed my sheep?" Notice they went from fish to sheep. Notice they went from making money to doing the Lord's work. And he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." Now I want you to know something. God does not force his way on anybody. Do you know that God does not come down and make you love him? You know that God does not want robots. He wants people to love him because you love him. Fellas, your wife doesn't want you to love her just because you have to. She wants you to love her because you want to. Ladies, your husband does not want you to love. Did I already say that? Ladies, your husband doesn't want you to love him just because you have to, but because you want to. Now, wait a minute. There are times you're going to have to look past the want to and do it because you're supposed to. I wish America would wake up and do it because they're supposed to, not because they want to. But most of the time, it needs to be a want to thing, not a have to thing. By the way, it sure does make being married a whole lot better. It really does. Let me take just a few moments and help you. A little of this would be review for some of you, but there's a, pardon the expression, there's a hook in this one tonight you haven't had before. Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me?" Jesus was asking, "Peter, do you love me with the same kind of love that I love you? Do you love me with agape love?" The word agape meaning the deep, abiding, principled love of God. Do you love me like God does? If you look, and I'm not a huge person of, well, the Greek says here and the Hebrew says here, but there are some words that are helpful if we look them up. And the Greek word that Peter uses is the word phileo. He said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo you." Phileo is a fleshly, a sensual type love. And by the way, sensual doesn't just mean sexual. Sensual means it involves the senses. I love, we stopped at, my mom and dad are going to kill me for this one. We stopped at the Fulton Road root beer stand while we were in Canton. I just watched both of them put their heads down. I bought a gallon of that stuff. It was cheaper than buying three mugs full. It's one of these, the whole store is about three times the size of this platform. That's it. It's one of those places you pull up and they come out to your car. You can't even get out of your car. And you can get it to go or whatever. They even have the frosty mugs, and it's not the kind of stuff you guys used to drink, but it's root beer, all right? But it's homemade stuff, and it is the best. Amen, Brother Mike? I stopped on my way through to see Brother Arcola yesterday for about 8 to 10 minutes just to put my arms around him, tell him I loved him. I was so close to him, I couldn't drive through, and Brother Mike happened to be there kind of looking at the projects we need to get done. And I said, "Hey, fellas, come here." I got two cups out, poured that stuff, and said, "You've never had anything like this before. It is homemade, real root beer. It is the best in the world." Hush. You didn't have one then either. It was a root beer. Now, wait a minute. I also, while I was there, my daughter and I love cheese. Other than Limburger, I can eat just about any other kind of cheese there is in the world. But there's a place called Sunny Slope Orchards out just south and west of Massillon, out near Brewster, Ohio. We took a little trip. I bought a 4.5-pound wheel of Baby Swiss. Then I bought my mom and dad some kind of cheese that they like. And by the way, did you get that yet? Uh-oh. I better make sure they get that, because it'll be gone by tomorrow if I'm not careful. We went in there and bought some cheese. And my daughter said, "Daddy, we don't have a knife." I said, "Because we're not going to cut it till we get home." "Daddy, why do we buy it then?" And it was like, "You bought all this cheese and we can't even get any." I said, "No, we're going to save it till we get home." She was not happy with me. But we did have cheese last night when we got home. Amen. Now, wait a minute. I can tell you that I love the root beer. Or I love the cheese. That's a phileo love. That's not the same kind of love as I love my wife. I love my daughter. I love my sons and my daughter-in-law. That's a whole different kind of love. Same word, but one stronger than the other. And Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" with that strong love. And he said, "Lord, I love you like I love root beer or cheese." Three times Jesus asked him. Now, let me help you. I love Jesus' response. Listen to this. This ought to bless you. Brother Hiles used to say it this way. This ought to bless your gizzard. Jesus says, "Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs." Can I tell you something? Do you know what a lamb is? It's a young sheep. It's a baby sheep. He said, "If you love me, why don't you love on the little ones? Why don't you love on the young ones? Why don't you love on those nursery children? Why don't you love on those 3 to 5-year-olds like Miss Kay does and Casey? Put your heart into teaching and loving on them. Why don't you love those first through third graders like Ron and Tammy Kishner do? Good night. We walk in here in the auditorium and there's food all the way across here, but that little lady and her husband, they love those kids. They do. They love them. You love them like Evan and Christine do, the 4th through 6th graders. And she came in this morning, both arms loaded. Evan came in, loaded for bear. Say why? Because he was hungry. And they're loving on those lambs. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning, Brother Mike. I think it was Friday or Saturday morning. At the hotel we stayed at, they had one or two little, what they call business rooms. It's like an office, and your hotel key could, if you stayed there, your hotel key would open it up, and you could go in there and work at a desk. So I was down there 5:30, 5:45 every morning working. I went in there, and I had texted through a bunch of folks and let them know I was praying for them. And Brother Joe and Ashley, I texted them. And Joe texted me back. He said, "Preacher," he said, "could I send you a little 2 or 3 minute video of my daughter?" I said, "Sure." He sent me this video. His little daughter Ashley sitting on the couch telling the story that I don't know who preached Junior Church a week or so ago, but she was quoting the story from Junior Church. Whew. Good thing nobody else was up, because I was blubbering everywhere. That blessed my gizzard, amen? I thought, you know what? There's a little girl that knows somebody loves her, teaching her the truth and teaching her the Word of God. I thought to myself, that's loving on the lambs, Brother Gus. That's loving on the little ones. Jesus looked at Peter and said, "If you love me, love the little ones. Love those little ones." Now, I'll be honest with you. Preaching to young ones, it's a little harder. You got to be a little bit more animated. Amen, brother? Brother Barnes is perfectly fit for 4th, 5th, and 6th grade because he thinks at a 4th grade level or 5th grade level. I mean, he's right there. I mean, we have him in the spot he needs to be. He'll lay on the floor. He'll do all kinds. I mean, you never know what he's going to do next. And they love it. Now, wait a minute. Why? Because he loves them. Wow. Jesus said, "If you love me, love the little ones. Love the little ones." Next, he said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, thou knowest that I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." Notice he said, "Feed my sheep" twice. The first word, sheep, means, I hate using this word because it means young sheep. It means teenagers. Means young adults, college age and teenagers. That realm of life. Even the junior hires. Folks, something happens to a kid when they hit late 6th grade, early 7th grade. They go to bed one night and their brain falls out their ear. And it takes them a while to find it again. You say, what's that called? Called junior high. We laugh about it. I'm as serious as I can be. It happens. I don't care how good your children are. It's going to happen. I've been around young people by the thousands. And it happens. I can promise you. Now, the girls come out of it a little faster than the boys do. But eventually, the boys sometimes catch up. Then they become men. And it doesn't always happen, but it does happen. You see, these are the teens, the young adults. Can I tell you something? They need extra guidance. They need somebody to guide them. They need somebody to help them. I don't understand it. It happened to me. It happens to every young person. But they hit that junior high stage, and it's like you have a three-year-old again. Everything you taught them, it's gone. You're going to say, "Well, my child's better than that." It's coming, baby. Just hang on. You're going to say, "Well, preacher, you said it was coming. It's coming. I'm telling you." It's not that they rebel necessarily. They just literally forget everything they've ever been told in their whole life. You know, up until then, if they burp, they say, "Oh, excuse me." They hit junior high, and it's like you're patting a baby on the back. And y'all know what I'm talking about? They don't brush their own teeth when they're when they're 1, 2, 3, 4 years old, and they hit junior high, and the boys don't want to brush their teeth then either. You say, why? Because that's what they do. You got to make sure they turn the water on for a shower and use soap and didn't have their clothes on while they did it. You say, why? Welcome to junior high. Now, wait a minute. God says they need a little extra guidance. They don't need dictators. They need leadership. They don't need, now, every once in a while, they're going to need firmness, but you're going to have to be patient. Because everything that was there fell out their ear and it's not there anymore, and you got to keep telling them again. And for some reason, everything between the ears doesn't stick. I found out if you have them put an earplug in one side and then you tell them something and have them do this, they're okay. They might remember from one room to the next what you told them to do. It just happens that way. Now, wait a minute. They don't need you to be like them. Be careful. Our society thinks to reach young people, we got to be like young people. That's why you got 50-year-old hippies. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's why you got youth directors in these churches that they've got their hair spiked and punked out. They've got the rock music, and they're using the common lingo of the day, like, cool man. Folks, we don't need 30, 40, 50-year-old teenagers. Teenagers need somebody to grow into, not grow down to what they are. Well, that guy's cool. He's just like me. That doesn't say a whole lot for him, let me tell you. Everybody doing all right? They need a man of God. They need a dad that knows how to love God. And if you know how to love God, you'll know how to love your children. And you'll tell your children you love them. Folks, don't let a day go by without telling your kids you love them. Don't do it. My boys are men. They're not little boys anymore. But I'll promise you, we don't text, we don't talk, we don't see each other without ever saying the words, I love you. Promise you. I grew up in their home. I don't think my dad ever left the room to go outside work in the garden without hearing him say, love you. I don't. Say why? Because, by the way, that's a fun way to grow up, let me tell you. We weren't screaming and hollering and fussing and feuding. Now, my brother and I did, but wait a minute. My brother's... He's old. He's got to be 51, 52, something like that. He'll be 52 in September. We had lunch together on Friday, and my sister-in-law's mama's passing. Can I tell you something? Though my brother and I go different directions much of life, as soon as we showed up, there was hugs going around the table. I said, love you. My sister-in-law came over and hugged my wife, and they hugged each other and cried for a little bit. And I walked over to my sister-in-law, and I hugged my sister-in-law. It's okay, my brother was right there. By the way, for the first time in all these years, she hugged me and didn't let go for a while. Say why? We were there to say we love you. We were sitting at the table, and my brother said, Craig, he said, my daughter Brittany, he said, she tore us up. I said, what's the matter? He said, she called and said, told me to tell grandma something. It's her grandma that's passing. Brittany, about, 3.5, 4 years ago, lost a baby, their first baby they lost. She said, tell grandma I'm envious because she's going to get to hold my baby before I do. My brother doesn't cry, but he was wiping his eyes. My wife's crying. My daughter's crying. My sister-in-law's bawling. And I'm sitting there going, hang on. And I'm wiping my eyes. I said, Chris, what a sweet, sweet, sweet memory this will be. He said, I know that sounds a little hard right now, but hold on to that thought. What a great thought. What a great thought. I said, Jackie's going to get to hold your grandkid before you. We finally found the joy in that. By the way, love them. Love them. Jesus tells Peter the third time, feed my sheep. That's the more mature ones. That's us. Amen? That's the sheep that are old enough to somewhat care for themselves. That's the sheep that get to influence and lead the others. Sheep aren't real smart. Do you know that if you had a line of 100 sheep and you had a log in the way and you're leading those sheep, the first one will jump over it. After the first two or three, it will jump over it. You could pull that log out and the other 97 or 98 will jump in the same spot. They just do what happens right in front of them. By the way, people are pretty close to that. We've just got to lead rightly. That's why the influences we allow in our lives are so important. You see, mature sheep need to help lead the younger ones. By the way, and please don't take this as an arrogant statement, but even mature sheep need a shepherd. We do. Folks, I need a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I spend as much time with him as I can. I do. I fail. I don't mean to. I try to get good advice. I'm growing. I'm not afraid to tell you, I'm growing. Be patient with me. Some of you more mature ones that know if you see me make a mistake, kindly pull me aside and say, preacher, could I help you? Could you at least, and I'll listen to you. I really will. Let me show you something and I'm done. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Peter. One day I was reading my Bible years ago and I saw this and I just about had a spell. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I looked for 2 Peter 5 and it wasn't there. Brother Ed told me it was, but it wasn't. It was in his Bible, not mine. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Watch this. Look at verse number 2. Feed the... What's that next word? Okay, that sounded like a bunch of Methodists. Feed the what? Flock of God, which is among you. What's a flock? That's all the sheep. Peter starting the ministry. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. As an older man, God speaks through Peter to say, feed the flock. Feed them all. Can I tell you something? That's what soul winning is. It's feeding the flock. It's going out and reproducing the fold. My job is multi-layered here, but one of the things I have to do is feed the flock. I've got folks in here that have been saved 60, 70 years. I've got folks that were here this morning that got saved today. They're brand new born today. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of difference in baby formula and feeding some of you more mature people. It takes a little bit of everything. And you have to be patient in a church because some of you have heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it, but there's somebody, it's the first time they've heard it. Can I tell you something? Be patient. Be patient. Allow me to feed the whole flock. And by the way, though you may have heard it before, you still might need it. If you're like me, every once in a while you forget, get a little hard-headed or a little bit too busy and we don't focus enough and you got to slow down a little bit. Huh. By the way, I want you to notice something. Look what he said there in 1 Peter 5. And this is God speaking through Peter writing, feed the flock of God. He didn't say, feed my flock. He realized it wasn't his flock. I talked to somebody this week. Matter of fact, it was Brother Galleon. I said, Brother Galleon, he said, Brother Bush, do you know how many people in the world you shocked? I said, what do you mean? He said, everybody that knew you never wanted to pastor. Now you're pastor in a successful church. He said, do you know how many people you shocked? I said, do you know how many people God shocked?
Me.
I said, but Brother Eddie, I said, let me tell you something I've told my people. I'm not their pastor. God is. I'm just God's assistant pastor. I said, because I find out I could do that. I understand it. I understand the level of responsibility, and I wish you knew. I would do. I wish you knew the worry. I wish you knew the stress, the strain. I'm not foolish. But I love God's sheep. I love them all. I do. I was told this week, Brother Galleon and I have a person that we know in common with one another. And I said, how so and so? He said, oh, Brother Bush, you don't know? I said, no. He said, he called me about 2 years ago. Told me that he's going to quit supporting missions. Said it was the hardest phone call that he had ever gotten. He said that pastor told him, he said, just so you know, I've changed my church. My wife's wearing pants. We have rock music. I'm tired of it. It broke my heart. It did. I preached for the man. I didn't just know him. I love him. I've preached for his dad in Michigan. I've known his family. I've helped him. I don't regret it. I just regret that he's changed. I do. I looked at Brother Galleon. I said, Brother Eddie, I said, I don't think I could even know how to change. I don't think I could do it because I don't know anything else, and I don't want to know anything else. I just believe in staying true to that all the way to the end. I said, I can't believe cheating God's people in God's flock and prostituting God's flock that way. I said, I don't understand it. He said, good, don't try. Just keep doing what you're doing. Folks, our job is to stay in the fold and reproduce the fold. That's our job. Let's learn to love the sheep. Let's not love the goats. Let's not try to find other flocks. Let's love the flock we're in, enjoy it, and let's follow God as He shepherds us. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Wow. You know what? God doesn't want to hurt you. And I hate to tell you, but in every flock, sheep don't make it. And some get sick. That's part of it. It's part of the cycle. My brother sat at the table and he said it. Timken Mercy Hospital there where they're at, every time a baby's born, they play this little baby song. Y'all, have you ever been in a hospital and heard across the PA, they play this little, almost like a nursery type song? He said, every time one's born, they play that over the whole hospital PA, letting everybody know there was one born. He said, and there we sat watching my mother-in-law die, and he said, "That's it. That's the circle of life. We're watching one die while others are bringing a new one in." And I said, yep, I said, it's a lot like church work, Chris. We keep getting them in and they keep graduating to heaven. We got to keep replacing them. You just got to keep replacing them. Some we send off to Bible college to learn to go out and help in other flocks around the country and around the world. But we just got to keep on reproducing in the fold. That's what it's all about. Peter, do you love me? Let me ask you this, church member. Do you love him? Notice how he said you could love him. By loving others. Jesus said, if you do it to the least of the one of these, you've done it unto me. We love him by loving others. And the more you love him, the more you'll love others. And the more you love others, the more you'll love him. And it's a wonderful life. Let me tell you, every head bowed, every eye closed. Church member, do you love God? When's the last time you told him? When's the last time you showed him? Do you love your husband? When's the last time you told him? Do you love your wife? When's the last time you told him? Do you love your children? When's the last time they heard those words from your mouth?